Brothers, sisters, comrades, and friends, welcome once again to Bat Country. Today I want to talk about alcohol withdrawal. Not a hangover, not even a really bad three-day hangover, not alcohol poisoning, but honest to God, good old-fashioned acute alcohol withdrawal. I want to talk about what it's really like. Above and beyond the vague lists of symptoms you'll find if Googling alcohol withdrawal symptoms is the extent of your research. Whistly tooth. Now, there are a couple of issues with me talking about this. First, naturally, I'm not a medical professional. I'm just a person with experience, and I don't understand where the lines are between detox and withdrawal or alcohol withdrawal syndrome and acute alcohol withdrawal syndrome, delirium tremens, and a number of other related maladies. I don't know exactly where the definitions fall for each of those. They kind of seem to be considered part of a network, a complex of interrelated alcohol withdrawal symptoms. The second issue is that I can't even find very clear, specific information, and where that information does exist, it tends to be too specialized and too technical for my tiny, dumb brain to comprehend. I am no expert. I am, though, pretty sure that whatever those definitions are, and however they are categorized, I have experienced them all, up to and including alcoholic hallucinosis, that is, hallucinations as a result of alcohol withdrawal. In fact, there are only two common symptoms that I have not experienced. One of them is seizures, and the other is death. Yes, indeed, for the uninitiated out there, having an alcohol abuse problem can kill you, but stopping an alcohol abuse problem can also kill you. So, good luck, I guess. Alcohol withdrawal syndrome is really serious, really fucking serious. It's not just really fucking serious, it's also really fucking difficult and really, really fucking terrifying. I wouldn't wish alcohol withdrawal syndrome on the worst person in the world, and that makes it all the stranger that I've done it to myself multiple times now. It's the worst. And what's even stranger than that is that I know how bad it is. And I know that every time it happens, it is worse and it takes less alcohol for it to happen. I'll talk about the hallucinations and the delusions and stuff in a separate video to follow this one, because that is by far and away the most terrifying part of the process and also the most fascinating. So I'll share my experiences of that in detail a little later. I should also mention a potential caveat to this information. My own experience of withdrawal might well be compounded by an existing or pre-existing head injury, which might make my symptoms manifest more intensely. But it's hard to say, and I've never had any solid, concrete answer about that. This much, though, is true. Alcohol hallucinations as part of withdrawal, they come with a kind of fear, a kind of terror. It's almost impossible to describe. The whole withdrawal process is terrible, but in particular, the hallucinations have a distinct and unique kind of fear. The hallucinations don't actually cause fear. Fear is part of the hallucination. It's a little bit like the fear that you experience in a nightmare, just abject panic and paralyzing terror, except it's not a nightmare. You're awake, and therefore unable to wake up from it. You're trapped. In fact, for a lot of people, there is no escape from that, except back into the bottle. So when you go somewhere to like WebMD or some other mainstream website looking for information and symptoms about alcohol withdrawal, the information all seems so detached and impersonal. And the list of symptoms often looks something like this. It will often include hand tremors, sweating, quick pulse, nausea, vomiting, headaches, loss of appetite, depression, anxiety, and insomnia. Those are just the basic symptoms, the most common to withdrawal. Not the most extreme, nor the most mild. Those just are the most common. But reading them in a list like that doesn't do any justice at all to what it's like to actually experience them. So in this video, I'm going to take each of those symptoms, those common symptoms that most people experience when they go through withdrawal, and I'm going to describe what it's actually like. Now, this is going to be quite honest and possibly dark in places. No sugarcoating this. This is going to be hard for us both to get through. So let's get started. Now, first, hand tremors. Reading the phrase hand tremors in that list of symptoms, it makes it seem kind of innocuous, like just a little bit shaky. But depending on how much you've been drinking and for how long, and how many times you've been through withdrawal in the past, it's a little bit more intense than simple tremors. Let me give you an example. Before I got sober about 4 or 5 years ago, I was in the process of being deported from Azerbaijan. It's a long story, we don't have time to go into that right now, but here's what's relevant. To get to that point where I was leaving Baku in Azerbaijan to come home to London, I had been drinking quite extensively for about a month or so. I had no idea that alcohol withdrawal was even a thing, but to be allowed on that flight home, I had to be sober, which meant that I'd had to suddenly dry out for a couple of days before I arrived at the airport. And I remember being at the airport in Baku, accompanied by several senior members of the British Embassy to escort me to the plane to make sure that I got on safely. And while I was being processed by the airport security, my hands were trembling so badly from alcohol withdrawal that I almost missed my flight because it took me so long just to sign my own name on the paperwork. Sometimes during withdrawal, you might find it hard to hold a fork steadily enough to feed yourself. In some severe cases, those tremors extend far beyond your hands to your entire body. And that makes it really difficult to do very simple things such as walk down a flight of stairs. In that kind of withdrawal, when those tremors are relatively extreme, they're not tremors anymore. They're debilitating. It's like your whole body is resisting its own movements. You can barely leave the bed. Next on the list, sweating. I'm a sweaty human at the best of times. I'm always a little bit sweaty. But during particularly bad withdrawals, I've had to lie face down on the bed under a towel, soaked in cold water. The slightest movement of your body induces a torrent of sweat, over old sweat. And that level of sweating just compounds your sense of dehydration. Also, it's not normal sweat. It's all of the nastiness, all of the toxins that you've stored in your body for God knows how long, now escaping through your skin. You fucking stink. And you can smell it yourself because it's an unfamiliar smell to you. Perhaps you think a nice warm shower might help to make you feel clean and refreshed. You're probably too unsteady to be able to stand up safely in the shower, which makes you not want to go in there in the first place. And second, if that shower is even a degree warmer than your natural body temperature, you'll once again be sweating bullets the moment you step out of the bathroom. The next one is a quick pulse or increased heart rate. Now that phrase, increased heart rate, doesn't do justice to what this actually feels like. It's beyond heart rate. It is palpitations and it's panic, and it will last days. That quick heart rate is then augmented by a shallowness of breath, making you panic just a little bit more. You think you're dying. You think that you are about to die. You might even begin to accept that feeling of impending death. Perhaps you might even wish for it. Nausea is next on that standard list of symptoms, except it's not normal nausea. It's not hangover nausea. It's the feeling of having been poisoned. It's something a little bit more like extreme vertigo combined with abject hopelessness. Everything spins in three dimensions all at once. All of your senses are spinning out of your control, and there is nothing you can do about it. Now, related to that is the next one on the list, vomiting. I've never been a big thrower-upper. I've been quite lucky in that regard. But With withdrawal, vomiting will creep up on you unexpectedly. You never see it coming. Sometimes it just comes from nowhere, and it can happen days after your last drink, even if you haven't been sick up until that point. Perhaps 3 or 4 days down the line, suddenly this overwhelming urge to throw up will just take over you. It seems to happen at random. There is no controlling over it. And I remember going through withdrawal once, lying on my front in my bed under that cold, wet towel, starting to feel like I was actually recovering, like I was going to be okay, like I'd dodged a bullet this time. But then suddenly, from nowhere, I ejected a long and explosive series of pukes all over my $2,000 laptop. It's not my proudest moment. Point is, even if you're not generally a puker, you will puke suddenly and without warning. Next is the headaches that are comorbid with withdrawal. Those headaches are constant, and it feels like someone's standing on your head while your head is expanding from the inside out. It is cripplingly painful. The headaches alone would be enough to confine a rational human being to bed. But in severe alcohol withdrawal, the headaches really are the least of the problems on this list. You would beg for a headache, given what's coming. Next is a complete loss of appetite. I'm serious when I say you will not eat for 5 days. Now, you know that you have to. You feel compelled to eat. Other people that you might be in contact with will tell you to eat something. And if you're brave, you might even try. You'll discover, though, that you can barely swallow anyway. And it doesn't matter because you're likely going to throw it up again immediately. Alternatively, you will just eat trash. You might eat chocolate or ramen noodles, anything that you can pick at that's already around you. You will eat trash, and that will only extend the length of your withdrawal period. In fact, it's not just the lack of appetite. The very thought of eating when you're in that kind of nauseous withdrawal state, even the thought of eating can make you throw up. And that will go on for days, maybe even weeks. It may be up to 2 weeks after your last drink that your appetite begins to normalize once again and you feel confident that you can eat. And if that didn't sound bad enough, we are now about to get onto the really serious stuff. The next thing on the common list of withdrawal symptoms is depression. If you have any kind of pre-existing depressive disorder, as most problem drinkers do, whether they know it or not, then the depression you'll experience as part of withdrawal is actively dangerous. It's unlike the conventional depression of a major depressive disorder, for example. It's something more like, I don't know, like an absolutely nihilistic hopelessness. It is a complete void. There is not just suicidal ideation as part of this, but there is a desire for death. Next, anxiety. When you see it written in the list, you think of anxiety as just feeling slightly uncomfortable or a little nervous, but withdrawal anxiety, alcohol anxiety, is not common anxiety. It is anxiety to the point and beyond of paranoia. Particularly extreme cases of withdrawal, like some of those that I've experienced, the anxiety, the symptoms present almost indistinguishably to schizophrenia. There's a lot of overlap. There is a constant sense of impending death, a genuine, tangible sense that you are about to die. Your heart feels both too fast and too weak to keep you alive. And as I mentioned, it's not just anxiousness. This is a days-long panic attack. The whole time, absolutely, inconsolably conceived that this is it. This is the moment you will die. And that goes on and on, hour after hour, for days. It's very traumatic. It takes a long time to recover just from that. And what's worse is you feel like everybody around you knows. You feel like everybody can tell. You go into a shop, you go outside at any point, and you feel like everybody's looking at you and everybody knows. They're all talking about you, and the things that they're saying to each other, well, they're not charitable about you. You just have a sense that conversations are being had all around you about you, and none of them are good. There is no reprieve There is no rest from it. And that's because of the last most common symptom, insomnia. The first time that I had a major withdrawal period before I got sober, I didn't sleep for 5 days. And when I say you don't sleep, I mean you are awake. You are a fucking awake. There is no rest, no snatches of sleep here and there, no naps, no sudden drifting off, no nothing. You are awake the whole time and you are left alone in the darkness to deal with all of those symptoms. No break, no sleep. You are in it and you are conscious of it the whole time. It is torture. Just you, 4 o'clock in the morning. The only thing to keep you company is the certainty, the absolute unshakable certainty that you are about to die. It's not a good way to live. Oh, and I'll throw in another one just for colour. One that doesn't appear on most of the symptoms lists that I've read online. No one seems to talk about this one very much. That is constipation. The moment you quit drinking after a long period of heavy drinking is also the moment your butthole forgets how to poop. For what it's worth, the relief that you feel after that long a period of feeling painfully uncomfortable, when the dam finally breaks and you're able to go again, that relief is profound, but it's hardly worth it. Now, what I just described are the typical common symptoms of withdrawal that you will find outlined on any mainstream medical website. But just listing them out doesn't give you an authentic impression of what they are like to experience, because it is far worse than you expect. And what I just described isn't even the worst part. I only touched very briefly on alcoholic hallucinosis, for example, and haven't even talked about delirium tremens, both of which I have some experience with. Now, I've decided to talk about those separately because there is not a huge amount of information on the internet or first-hand accounts from people who have experienced those things. There's a very morbid reason for that. It's this: a significant proportion of people who experience alcoholic hallucinations and delirium tremens die, and therefore don't have the opportunity to share a first-hand account. Alcohol withdrawal is fucking dangerous, and there are generally only 2 treatments for withdrawal to alleviate the symptoms of withdrawal. One is to seek medical help early. Get on those benzodiazepines and replace those electrolytes. Do it as quickly as possible. The earlier you get treatment, the better your outcome. The other is the one that I chose for a long time, and that's to open another bottle of liquor and to hammer it just as quickly as possible to get rid of those terrifying symptoms. Most of us in recovery for a while choose option 2, and that's why alcohol is so hard for people like us to quit. And look, I've been lucky to survive several withdrawals now. I don't take that for granted, and in a future video I will outline some strategies that can make the withdrawal process slightly more manageable. For now, the most important thing that you need to recognize is that withdrawal unassisted is dangerous. And while it might sound like bullshit to hear a person like me tell you that you need to go to a hospital right now, while you might feel like you can just white knuckle it because you're tough and you've been through it before, believe me, your chances of surviving, of getting sober, and of staying sober are a million times better if you seek help right now. You're gonna need it. Okay, well, that was fucking heavy, wasn't it? I'm sorry about that, but no one else seems to be talking about these really, really intense and personal issues that I can find, so I figured I would share my experience. Join me again next time, where I'm going to be talking a little bit more in depth about alcoholic hallucinosis and my experience with it. So, until then, keep on quitting.